Hey everyone, welcome to the Film 5D podcast, episode 7. The Film 5D podcast. Colton's acting strangely. What's going on?
I'm excited.
Oh, the viewers listening in their car rides can definitely hear you. let's get right into it. We're going to talk about Mad Max, because that came out 2 weeks ago. I saw you're seeing it today.
Yeah.
You're excited for that?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about also Tomorrowland. San Andreas is coming out today. Tomorrowland came out last week. We're shooting this on a Friday, releasing it on Monday. Mm. We're talking about news and rumors with A7R again. We're going to talk about RGBW, and we're also going to talk about what the A7S must have for me to buy it. An A7S II, considering I already have the original. Then we're going to talk about lines and photography, which I know you're going to be interested in because we talked about it last time and I could tell you didn't really understand it fully. So we're going to get more into depth about what it means when there's like clashing lines and like points of focus and stuff like that. And then you're going to talk about Kickstarter / Tugs.
Yeah, I think it's just Tug.
Okay, so it's just like an alternative to Kickstarter then?
Oh, have you not heard of Tug?
We'll get to it. And then for the final part, which is probably going to be the majority, the last half of the show, we're going to talk about what makes a great action star. And we're going to even give our top five. And I'm going to start off with a quote.
Okay.
Because it's going to be related. The quote for the week. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning.
Dude, isn't that like some Fast and the Furious movie?
Another Vin Diesel quote. He's got the best. Those action stars, man, they got to have those nice quotes. Those nice solid quotes that are... You walk out of the theater and you remember that quote.
I guess so.
We can argue about that later. All right, first segment, Rotten Tomatoes. What came out this week?
Tomorrowland?
No.
San Andreas?
Are you even looking at... do you even iPad right now?
Yeah. Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrowland came out last week.
Okay, I'm confused.
Got a 49%. It did win the box office, barely. It's got, obviously, George Clooney in it.
I thought it was Disney, though. Like, how is it feeling?
I don't know. I mean, from what I heard, it was a pretty decently made movie. It's got Brad Bird directing it. I'm pretty sure he directed The Incredibles. I'm trying to think of what else he's directed.
Dude, they're making Incredibles 2.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's making it. Yeah, so The Incredibles is his highest rated movie, 97%. So that's Brad Bird. So he's a pretty good director, so people had high expectations from Tomorrowland. But from what I'm hearing, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, is basically you have, like, think of a movie as a clock.
Yeah.
Like you go 2 o'clock and you have the first act and then you get to 6 o'clock and then, you know, it kind of all matches up and you have your different your three acts and all that stuff. Basically, the first act, which is supposed to be like the build up part, tells you what the plot's going to be, not so much character development, but just throws you in there, whatever. Yeah. Apparently, that lasts half the movie. So it's kind of like a very slow building movie. And all of a sudden, the last half is just the other two parts, which is like a little unusual. So that's kind of what I heard. I haven't seen it yet. Honestly, I was always going to wait until DVD. Message me. I'm a little sick, guys, just so you know. If I sound funny. Yeah. Okay. And then San Andreas came out this week, starring The Rock. And since we're talking about action stars later, we can get into that more. But San Andreas is one of those movies where, for me, I knew it was going to have faults, but it is an action movie. It's kind of a ridiculous, like, world-ending plot, but it's got The Rock. Like, I'm gonna rent it on Blu-ray and see it. Like, I'm not gonna go to the movies and see it because I knew it was gonna get. I mean, 49% is probably better than I thought it was gonna get. To be honest, like that's just because The Rock, as much as people want to hate on him, is actually a really good actor. Like, he's really good and a very good action star. And can he carry a movie? I'm not so sure. I think he's more of the best, like, supporting guy who can come in and be himself. But when he's trying to carry a role, it's a little... I'd have to see. I'm not going to judge. I mean, he's definitely been in movies where he was the main character, and it was a good movie. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Just looking at the poster, it looks kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a little bit a little bit out there in terms of, like, ideas for movies. But obviously, he's been good in the Furious 7 movies and stuff. I'm trying to remember the movie I saw of him where he was the See Faster. It didn't get a good review, 43%, but I thought this was a decent movie starring him.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. All right. So very quickly, we talked about Mad Max last episode. I've seen it. You're seeing it today. Yes. It lost to Pitch Perfect 2, which I predicted in terms of Pitch Perfect 2 wasn't certified fresh, but it did win almost double the amount of money. I think Mad Max made 40 and then Pitch Perfect made like 70. Any thoughts on that? We saw it coming. You didn't believe me. You thought it was crazy, but
I don't know. That's sad. Like, I thought there was like a good Mad Max cult out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. That it? So like I say, it's a radar movie. I mean, it's competing against a PG-13 movie, a sequel. Sequels all usually do pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but still, like, I didn't know Pitch Perfect was that popular.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't, like, break records or anything, but it, you know, was, in my opinion, like, definitely going to beat it the whole time. I had a picture. I can't really pull it up right now on my Mac, but I'm basically saying Pitch Perfect 68%. I had it at 70 mil at the end of the weekend, and then Mad Max was 98% and 44.4 mil, barely nudging out Avengers, which was already out for 2 weeks at that point, with 38.8 mil. So it did get second, and it made 44 mil. So they've already announced, like, I know basically they kind of hired Tom Hardy to do a trilogy, but they've officially announced that they're making a second one, which is cool. So after you see it tonight, you'll see like how they're going to do a second one and stuff and make it into a new thing for Tom Hardy to do.
Yeah, I heard it was like I read a comment by somebody on the internet, and they're saying that Mad Max, and I forgot what other movie, but they're kind of an interesting departure to like regular action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're saying, essentially, Mad Max is almost like one whole long car chase scene.
Well, it's interesting, because like, action movie, have you ever seen Expendables?
No.
You know what it's about, though, right? The old action stars. So, that movie's like, the first one was good in a campy kind of way, where it's like, you know, it wasn't a good movie, but it was still enjoyable to watch. But in that movie, it was just so painful to watch the moments of character development. Or basically, like, okay, we have this random character who's not as popular as the other ones. Let's give him a minute to tell his story and be super sentimental and, like, tell him why he does it. And it's just, like, super in-your-face, like, we're retarded. Which most people who see that movie probably are. But, you know, like, it's super in-your-face. Whereas Mad Max, like, the character development is just all throughout. And it's super subtle. And there's, like, little things you get. And it's never, it's like, Rosebud. You know, it's like things like that where most people don't really get it so much, but very effective and very cool. So that's what I liked about it for an action movie. It didn't have to take a break from the action to get the character development in. It did have not all fast full throttle the whole time, but it doesn't slow down at any point, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's what the person was saying, like, mm-hmm. their ability to keep that pace while still, you know, building the plot and all that kind of stuff. It was really entertaining.
It was like, I always talk about pacing. That's why I like Edge of Tomorrow so much, even though you didn't like it, I guess. But,
I think you overrated, dude.
No, dude, that movie had great pacing for a movie. We're not going to argue about it. Yeah. But for a movie that was about the same thing for the first act, it was about the same thing over and over again. It was entertaining and interesting the whole time. Yeah. It's called good pacing.
Yeah.
Moving on. News and rumors. We got some news and rumors from Sony Alpha Rumors this week. Nothing coming out from Roll Canyon, really, though I didn't really check. Let's be honest. So A7R2, we've been talking about this a lot. Looks like you're right. It's going to be the 36 megapixel.
Ooh.
Do you want to tell the people the good news about what else it's going to have for those of you who don't already own an A7R and are looking to get the new one and waiting?
Well, it's going to have faster autofocus.
That's a year newer technologies, sure, yeah.
And it's also going to have an electronic first curtain shutter, which apparently the first one didn't.
I feel like my camera has that, though. I feel like all the mirrorless cameras have to have that.
No, I think I read somewhere else, like somebody was saying, like, they pretty much all do except for the A7R or whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that makes... So that's because I think basically what that means is you can turn it to a silent mode where there's like an electronic shutter so it doesn't have to actually physically do it. So, because like, I've used the A7S and the A7, and they both have silent mode, so I kind of figured the A7R did as well, but I guess it didn't, so that's what it has.
That's cool.
What else? What else does it have? There's one big thing that we talked about last episode that I didn't think it would have, or that the rumor said that it wouldn't have. But it does, and it has gives me good hope for the next topic.
Yeah, it's going to have in-body stabilization.
IBIS, in-body image stabilization.
Yeah.
Which is that kind of, you know, souped up sensor on, you know,
kind whatever. Like a Jurassic Park ride. Just...
Yes. On a suspension, I guess.
Yeah.
Which you said your concern with might wear out over time.
Yeah, I feel like, obviously, if you have a moving part, like, isn't it going to wear down a little bit? And then, like, the stabilization quality is going to degrade, right? Like,
maybe it doesn't move as much as you think it moves. Maybe yeah. It's, like, not that bad. I don't know. You could be right. I don't know. It's a concern, definitely, because, I mean, all these cameras, like, it doesn't have the mirror anymore. So the whole point is it's kind of all solid state, basically, now. And now they're going to add something that moves. And it's kind of like, huh. Yeah, you never know. All right, moving on. What the heck is RGBW?
RGB plus white?
Red, green, blue, white. So what does that affect? And what is this for? Why are we even talking about RGBW?
Because apparently Sony made a new...
So they make the iPhone cameras,
yeah.
If you didn't know. Like the iPhone, I don't care what anybody says, I still think that they make the best camera phones. Okay, you can talk about screen and whatever else, but the actual camera quality, people have made feature films with the iPhone 4S, and that was 3 years ago. I mean, the cameras are so much better now. So what is this going to help with these smaller cameras and camera phones, specifically the iPhone, because that's what Sony makes?
Low light performance.
But what, I mean, why? We're looking at an image right here. They're talking about Lux.
Yeah, from what I understand is by adding the white sensor, it makes it more sensitive, so it's able to pick up more data from the light. But normally, when you have an RGBW sensor, it's a little bit bigger. Like, you trade off the sensitivity, and you can't really fit that many pixels within the sensor. But apparently what Sony is saying with their new technology, they're able to shrink down the pixels.
So higher resolution while having more sensitive.
Yeah, so they're able to fit it within the, you know, reasonable size within the phone camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so... they're still able to maintain, you know, the 12 megapixel camera while having this RGBW light sensitive sensor. Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing about iPhones is, for me, I don't really use them like for pictures that much, especially in low light, because the quality is so bad in low light. Though they do have the nice little white and orange flash that kind of matches the color of the room. So it's not like you're super white and the background's super orange. Like, that's cool. I'm sure a lot of the new cameras have that, or maybe not. I don't know.
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. They have the best camera phones. But so I like, that's the only time I'll use a flash. Obviously, the A7S doesn't have a flash, doesn't need one. So yeah. All right. So that's cool. Moving on. I'm going to talk about what does the A7S II absolutely need to have for me to buy one. Obviously, I already have one. I've invested quite a lot in my camera over the last year. It came out in June. It's almost been a year. The end of June. What does the A7S II, when it comes out, probably in September or whatever, what does it absolutely need to have, or I'm waiting until the next one? Number one, it must have IBIS, which, given the fact that the other two alpha cameras are having it, I'm assuming this will have it. It's probably also going to have the better body with like the better grip or whatever. That's all cool. Sound, check. It needs to have internal 4K. Now, this is the stretchy part. I think it's going to have all these other things, but it's not going to have internal 4K. And if it doesn't, then there's no point, because I only have one Shogun. So if I'm going to need another camera, I want two 4K cameras. I don't want one, you know, that's whatever. So that's going to be the tough part. I mean, full frame, 4K internal. I know the GH4 does it, but guess what? The GH4 sensor is a fourth the size. I mean, that's four times as much information it's trying to pull in, light, data, colors, all this stuff, and process. you know, in a camera body that's even smaller than a GH4, like, it's going to be pretty hard to pull off. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And it needs to be high megapixel, if possible. Because right now it's 12, which is okay. I mean, obviously, it's not nearly comparable to some of these other ones, like 36. We're talking about 50 with the Canon, whatever they're called, 5DC, 5DS. And then you got the new Sony one that's going to be like 59. We don't even know what that one is. But the reason that the A7S is 12 is so that there's no aliasing. Every pixel is used for video. It doesn't have to downsample to get to a video. So unlikely that they'll come out with some new technology basically that kind of removes all of that without putting a filter over it or anything. Basically just turns off half the pixels that you don't need while you're recording video or whatever. Probably not going to be able to do that, but that'd be nice. And then everything else I want with my camera should definitely be fixed with the firmware. We're talking about menu things, adding new custom buttons. I did a video about the custom buttons the other week. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, but I mean, there's some buttons like I'd like to have a custom button to turn on silent shooting. Like the only reason I really ever go to the menu is to change silent shooting on. It'd be nice just to have a custom button that I can program that I'm not currently using to do that, because that way whenever I need to shoot silent real quick, bam, done. So that should be done with firmware. They haven't really been coming out with too many firmwares to support this camera, but there's not that much wrong with it other than that kind of thing. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about lines in photography, videography. We talked about this last time. This is commonly used. You don't always notice it. And the overall theme of this tutorial, if you will, is that the whole reason for lines and rules of thirds and 180 degree rules is so that you don't notice it. It's kind of like editing. You only notice editing when it's bad. Like, you only really, like, kind of sticks out when it's bad and jarring. Sometimes, like a horror movie or whatever, you want stuff to be jarring. You want the rule of thirds to be broken, the 180 degree rule to be broken, to kind of jar you or make you feel kind of awkward. But as you're watching a movie, your eyes don't want to see stuff that doesn't look nice or makes it hard to focus on. You know, you want to have something that makes sense to your eyes to direct to, because guess what? Our eyes are spaced apart. We don't have one eye. So we need to see things. I'll pull up an image right now. We need to see thirds. See, right here, nice little balance. And this, and here's the lines we're talking about, where the lines are kind of the characters walking down the hallway, and the lines are guiding him that way, and that's what makes the most sense to our eyes and our brain. And obviously, he's on a third, you know, there's balance and stuff like that. We got the wall right there and stuff like that. All these pictures, I actually found this on Imgur. This is all from The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, that's the one with the Stiller, right?
Yeah. I almost used it for last week when we did our most underrated movies, because this one got like a 50% or something, and I thought it was really good. I've seen it a couple times. I don't know that I would use this kind of stuff to like judge it, but you know, this guy did. Here's another line with the bridge and how it's always walking, like, it's just natural things. And then obviously it doesn't always have to do with people. You can have the rule of thirds applied to buildings. Building, person, you know. So this is the example that I was talking about last time when I was talking about, this is obviously an over the head shot of like a long shot of people walking, getting up an elevator. But you see, so you got the waves right here and you got how it's all balanced out. Then you got a square right here and like there's an angle right here where half of it's in the shade and half of it isn't. So if we're talking about lines in terms of composition, that's what we're talking about. What does it mean? It's all subjective. But it's a little, to me, it's a little bit chaotic stuff. You got contrast, a lot of contrast in just one frame. Here, another rule of thirds. Rule of thirds, pretty common. Rule of thirds. I mean, literally, spelt out for you. Yeah. Rule of thirds, like, so rule of thirds, you could be on the bottom third, but it's all, and then see how, like, the skyline is exactly the same opposite of where the people are? Like, this is all done on purpose. Like, they have this on their screens as they're recording this, and they know, you know? So that's the rule of thirds in a nutshell. it's got to be appealing to the eye. It's all about balance. You know, you want it to be appealing. You want it to make sense. It's all about balance and appealing. You want it to make sense. And if you are breaking these rules, then you're trying to make people feel uncomfortable, which you don't really want to do unless it's a motivated. That's why people, you know, when I went to school, they're like, oh, 180 degree rule is a rule. It's meant to be broken. It's like, well, you got to know the rule before you can break it. And you should only break it when it's motivated. It's just like a camera. Like, have we talked about motivated camera movement yet?
No.
The camera should never move. Like it should never pan down unless it's motivated by something like me grabbing this pencil on the table.
Or the pan.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, the camera shouldn't pan down to the pencil and then me go. It should all be motivated by, like, me seeing the pencil. I see the pencil, then it pans down to the pencil, and then I grab it. That's called motivated, you know.
What if you just, like, punched into the pencil really quick, then you grabbed it, and then it...
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you know. Oh, come on.
We're not talking about motivation right now, but we're just talking about... So 180 degree rule specifically is we know what that is. Keeps continuity. Makes it all make sense. We did a tutorial on this some time ago. So here's an illustration of it, which I think is pretty nice. I remember when we did the Godfather sketch, people kept saying that we broke the 180 degree rule. And I was like, no, we didn't. The shot was literally, so this is you. Let me use my mouse. This is you, and this is me. As it pulled back, and it switched to the other side, and it was just me, and you're still over here, but you're out of frame, right? Sorry, right here. So this is me, and this is you. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't you just point to the opposite? Those two boxes are opposite of each other. That's across the 180 degree line, right? Look at.
Okay, but see, here's my thing about the rule. You're right. You're right, but what? This is my line. This is their line. That they have, right? But this is the line that I created, and we never went over that line. The line wasn't flat and it wasn't perpendicular, but you know, it cuts to a different angle. And guess what, guys? When people were criticizing me, you're also criticizing The Godfather, which is possibly the greatest movie ever made. They literally did the same shot. We tried to match it shot for shot, and they did that same thing. So I don't care if we were breaking the rule or not, because they did it and we were trying to, you know, emulate it. So done. Mic drop. And here's another nice example from The King's Speech, which is a great movie. Won the Academy Award for Best Actor and Movie, I believe. Or was that... That might have been Hurt Locker that year. I don't remember. No, it won Best Picture. Nice rule of thirds right there. See, like, I mean, you can imagine this is a third right there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about matching up the eye line. Sorry, I should use my mouse to do this.
Yeah.
Right there. So, cool stuff. All right, done with the tutorial. Go.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about taking movies from script to the screen, but using alternative methods of, like, funding and stuff.
Like so, Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Indiegogo.
Yeah. And so, I think it's... interesting.
Go ahead.
Because you know, I feel like a lot of people would agree, or maybe they kind of feel like certain movies might be motivated by, or they might be, you know, the direction is dictated by how much money they can make.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Kickstarter and things like that, alternative methods, kind of gives filmmakers a way to create movies that might not be normally created.
South Park did an episode on this. And there's a lot of anti kind of Kickstarter going around. Because you know how many... We were a part of a show, a soccer show, that got funded we shot to completion and never got completed or released. And people funded it. It got $2,000. Which isn't a lot, but you know, people were promised certain things.
Yeah.
And that show never came out. They released one episode and that was it. It was supposed to be on Fox Sports West. The pilot got released and is like, they did an Indiegogo campaign. Like, I haven't talked to the producer. I have no idea what happened, but so that's kind of where I stand. It's like, there's no obligation to finish it. Yeah. Like, I would love to give people money to make a great game like Star Citizen, but I'm not going to. There's no way I'm going to. There's people who've been giving them $5,000 just to get a special, you know, spaceship that's limited edition that will probably be get released for everybody else, you know, 6 months after the game release. And that game may never be completely finished, even though it's raised the most money of any campaign ever, like $70 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that is true. That is a pitfall because basically, you know, people are funding it. But I do think, you know, when it does work out, interesting things are created. Like, for instance, Kung Fury.
We got a new cup. Actually, I can't pull that up right now because QuickTime is saving a file. It just crashed. Let me try. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, so I saw this randomly on the internet.
Should we watch the trailer?
Yeah, why not? Kung Fury.
Actually, I don't think we can watch the trailer.
Oh. Well, that's okay. But anyways, I just saw it randomly on the internet. You know,
let's watch the trailer.
Oh, fine. Go.
So this is I'm going to warn you guys, this is a super campy movie. I think this sound's going to come out of here.
Hey.
Super campy kung fu movie.
I got the permit right here.
Pretty low budget, seems like.
Yeah, but the way it was made, I thought it was very clever.
I didn't watch the movie. It was 30 minutes long. You've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, like,
it looks like Sharknado.
But it's way better, dude, like, yeah, it is, kind of like low budget, right?
I don't want to talk over this.
You talk over it, dude.
Okay. Well, anyways, yeah, it is, like, low budget, it's obvious, and, you know, they use a lot of CGI kind of stuff to do stuff, but the way they kind of used, yeah, the way they use filters and stuff on it and the way they were trying to emulate kind of like an old VHS, it all kind of really blends together. Like, yeah. Even the actors, they look kind of fake in some scenes.
So I'm going to pause this because I have a great example of that. I'm going to go ahead. We don't need to watch the whole trailer. They ride a dinosaur at the end of the trailer.
Yes.
A T-Rex. And Hitler kills somebody through a telephone. Yeah. So
favorite part.
That's all you need to know. I'm going to pull up on Rotten Tomatoes. A movie that I instantly thought about when you said that. I'm pretty sure you've seen this. If you're not, you're a travesty.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it, of course.
Cillian Murphy.
Yep.
87%. Probably one of the best zombie movies ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, Zombieland, I think, is close tie.
And we're talking about 28
days later. 28 days later. So why do I say this movie? We were talking about production value and like how it kind of made it feel a certain way. So this movie had extreme budgetary concerns. It did not have a high budget. They shot it, I believe, on a 16mm camera. Not 16mm. It was shot on a very low-end camera, maybe like a $2,000 camera. Mm-hmm. I mean, a feature film that is well-known and probably made millions and millions of dollars was shot on like, you know, a $1,500, $2,000 camera. I need to pull up the tech specs on this. But so it made 54 or 45 million in the box office. And guess what? They got a sequel. So they got even more money. But it kind of made it. It didn't. So that's people always worry about quality and all this stuff. But sometimes if you don't really have the best gear and stuff, just do what you said and like make a, you know, kind of campy movie and then add filters on it to make it look like crap. Like it was meant to be that way. And that way people don't know that you were, you know, working with limited stuff. Because I'm sure Kung Fury didn't actually shoot with really, really high-end stuff. I mean, the lighting and stuff does not look like they, you know, were doing. That's not just a filter making it look bad. That just means that they had low-end lighting capabilities. And they all shot it. They shot it really quick. So, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, the way the effects and everything were incorporated into that, I thought it was great. It really meshed well together. It was pretty funny. It's cool. It's out on YouTube. It's about 30 minutes. You can just look it up, watch it for free.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We don't have sponsors on this show. You can't just tell people to go watch that.
Well, okay. I'm not telling you to go
watch. Go watch Mad Max. If you haven't seen Mad Max, go watch it. Tom Hardy called me earlier today reminding you guys to tell you again. I promised I would.
But, Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, I watched it and I enjoyed it, and then I looked at the information and it was funded by Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if nobody had Kickstarted it, it wouldn't exist. And I think it's a good example of what's possible with Kickstarter. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And also, just on the side of Kickstarter, I also want to talk about Tug, which is something kind of interesting I just randomly came across. And you have something to say?
So I'm looking right here. Mm-hmm. It was actually it was shot on video. It was also shot 8mm and 35mm.
28 days later.
Yes. Okay, that's the camera. Canon XL1S, which I don't need to look it up, but it's got EC and EJ prime lenses, which, guess what, guys? Those are not cinema lenses. When they're not using full-on professional, you know, $100,000 kit. They're using basically under $5,000, you know, worth of camera stuff. Which is pretty impressive considering that the budget was only $8 million for a zombie movie that made $50 million in the box office and obviously had a sequel that made even more. So that's just a good point of, you know, not always worrying about the camera quality and kind of running with it and meshing it and blending it together and making a theme out of it. Obviously, zombies, kind of gritty. You know, you can kind of have that kind of look and people won't really care. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk about Tugs.
Yes, it's Tug, no S. And it's not relatively new. Like, I think it started at least in like 2013 or something like that. But when I actually came across it, I was surprised that I'd never heard of it before because it was a really interesting idea. Essentially what it is you can say, like, say if you made a movie, you're like, I want my movie to be shown in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically give the information to Tug. And then you say, okay, Tug, like, I want to try and put my movie in this movie theater. And they go, okay, like, this is the amount of people that need to buy a ticket to that movie. And if you can get enough people to pledge to say that they'll buy a ticket, then they'll take care of the logistics, get the movie in a theater, and then people can go watch it.
At any theater? Or just, like, these, like, certain theaters that do this, kind of, like, independent?
I'm sure it's not at any theater, but they say they take care of all the logistics, so I'm not sure how powerful they are, as in, like, what theater.
I've never seen it at, like, the Edwards, you know, near where we live, you know. It's, like, a pretty big high-end theater, so. But I could definitely see that working at. That's a good distribution. I mean, distribution used to be such a hard thing. That used to be the most hardest part about once you finish the film, how do you get people to see it? And if you have this, and, like, you can create buzz and, like, even get people like Kickstarter and like buy people tickets, so the tickets are free. You give them out for free. People come see your movie.
Yeah,
basically at that point, all you have to do is make a movie that doesn't suck.
Yeah, it's great because I mean, you go on Tug, you can just see all these like crazy movies people are making, you know. And then they're using Tug to, you know, put it into theaters. It's a great idea. I thought it was cool.
I don't know if you remember. You obviously remember, but we did two episodes about pre-production on Charlie, which was the zombie movie I was going to make, and I don't want to say I was disheartened, but so that I wrote that script in October of 2012,
mm-hmm.
and by February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2013, a movie came out. It was starring the guy who's in X-Men, who I think was dating Jennifer Lawrence for a while. He was just in Mad Max. You'll see him in that movie.
Yeah.
That guy, I forget his name, was in a movie about a zombie who was the main character. And he kind of, all the dialogue was through, you know, voiceover. Not quite the same as mine, but it definitely disheartened me. And I wasn't super, because I was going to do a Kickstarter for that movie. Uh-huh. I only wanted like $1,000, but I was like, well, we got enough fans. We can get to a Kickstarter and get $1,000 and have some good makeup for our zombies and stuff like that. So I never did it. But since then, I've kind of changed my opinion on Kickstarter. I'm not sure, so sure I like it. Because had we got funded and not made that movie, I mean, we're not liable, other than we take a credibility at, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Tug is a little bit different than Kickstarter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tug is like, you already create the movie, you're trying to get people see it.
I mean, that kind of is inspiring me. You know, I'm working on a feature film script right now, so.
Yeah, I thought I saw this, and this is freaking cool. I really like this, so I think more people should know about this. I didn't know about
What's the website?
Tug, T-U-G-G.
Oh, double G.
Yep, double G.
pull it up so everybody could see it on screen. So that's like a nice, because man, I know I've known independent filmmakers who've gone through the process of trying to distribute and people going to LA and trying to get people to watch a movie. There's people in LA who literally go to the theaters. My uncle sees a movie every week. He goes to the low end independent theaters and he'd probably see a movie that was from Tug and wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
Because he just likes that kind of stuff. Cool.
Yep, there's that. But yeah, I think, you know, stuff like this is cool because it lets people, you know, get exposed, kind of have their ideas, get out there, Kickstarter, lets people get funds that, you know, might not have the funds. Yeah, some people can exploit it, whatever, but there's a lot of bad stuff in the world.
Yeah, there's worse stuff. Okay, moving on. That's the end of that part of the show. We're about halfway through. We're going to have our final discussion on action stars because obviously Mad Max just came out this week. San Andreas came out. Rockstar is pretty big action. Rock's pretty big action star. Let's start off with our top five favorite action stars. You don't have to give me in any order. Just give me your first one.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. He's a little bit outdated now. I don't think he's made a good action movie in quite some time. That's why he's not on my list. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Just one quick word about why Bruce Willis is on your list.
I think he's cool without making me hate him. That's why I like
You just liked Looper.
Oh, yeah. Looper was so awesome. Oh, don't even get me started.
Okay. My first one, we talked about last week, Tom Cruise. And one reason why is he does his own stunts. And he's a pretty solid actor, which we've talked about. Mm-hmm. A solid A-list, meaning he brings in the money, the cashola, which is important for an action star. And the whole point is to bring in lots of money. That's what makes you a big action star. He is the A-list of action stars. He's got to be on your list. Tell me he's on your list.
I was going to put him on my list, but dude, I just couldn't because I hate him too much personally.
Oh my
god! I have a personal bias.
That's fine. It's your list, so whatever.
Like I could.
You can agree with me, though, that he's a solid A-list actor, that he does his own stunts. Like, have you seen the trailer Mission Impossible 5 where he's hanging off the side of the jet? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I do acknowledge he's a great actor.
You just hate him because of Scientology. Let's be honest. You don't even hate him because he jumped on Oprah's couch. You don't even care about that.
No, that was funny.
All right, next one.
Tom Hardy.
I also have Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Why is he on your list? Because he's relatively new, though. Like, he's only been... Honestly, how many action movies has he been in? Think about it.
Batman?
Huh?
What?
Batman? Oh, yeah, so he was Bane. What else? Yeah. Obviously, Mad Max, which you haven't seen yet, but go on. Not that many. I mean, like, Inception, I wouldn't really consider that, like, an action role, even though he did most of the action-y things, like, you know, shoot the gun, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of being the action star, Mad Max is his first one. And honestly, when you see it, it's almost not even really about him. I mean, yeah, he's in it, but it's almost more about Charlize Theron.
That's what I've heard. Wait, is she for USA?
Hmm?
Who's Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
She is? Oh, mm-hmm. Dude, that's so cool. That's a person with the black stuff on her face, right?
That's the best.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Okay. I have on here that he's the best actor on my list. That's why I like him. Yeah, he's in Mad Max. Yeah, he's starting to get his break. He was Bane and stuff. I have him as the best actor on my list.
Best.
He's the best.
Best.
So that's why I have him.
Oh, you're talking about Tom Hardy. I thought you were leading into your next thing. No. I was like, what?
All right, what's your third one?
I think you'll like this one. Vin Diesel.
I also have Vin Diesel. Why?
Well, I think, okay, first of all, his voice is like super crazy. Like, he's super cool. And like,
I think he's the most quotable.
Yeah.
He has those sick quotes where he's just like, yeah, with family. With family. It's like, this is cool. Like, he just seems like a cool dude. And then you hear him talking in real life. Hey guys, what's up? My Facebook friends. Oh my gosh, me and Paul Walker are so cool. Not to be disrespectful, but that's like literally what he sounds like. And then all of a sudden he gets in the movie. He's like, yeah. I can't even do his voice. This is so awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah. He's probably of my, I didn't put like a list, but he's my favorite on the list. Vin Diesel. People would hate on him because Daddy Daycare and all this stuff, but I just think he's not only the coolest like actor, the most humble, but he's just like the coolest.
Yeah.
Next. Definitely. We're 2 for 2. We got two for three that we matched up.
Dwayne Johnson.
Of course. I mean, literally his movie's coming out. He's The Rock. I used to watch him growing up wrestling. I was cheering for him even when he was the Scorpion King. That was like his first breakout role, was just like being in the movie for 5 minutes at the beginning. And then they did a spinoff and did his own movie, which sucked. Which had a bunch of CGI. But, you know. Now, like, the thing about The Rock is I felt for so long, for the first probably like 7 years of his career in Hollywood, he was just picking the wrong movies. I mean, he was in like these movies with Josh Hutcherson, and like he was in this movie where he's like a football player and he has this girl, and it's like, you know, whatever. He was in The Tooth Fairy. Like, he was in the worst movies. Like, yeah, Vin Diesel's been in one or two bad movies, but The Rock was in just horrible movies the whole way. I mean, I could pull up the list. I mean, let's just quickly go through, like, his history. But for me, he's like what he calls the Viagra of action movies. Like, he joins Fast and Furious, all of a sudden it's cool again. I was so sick and tired of Fast and Furious by the fourth one. Also in the fifth one, all of a sudden it's like becomes a heist movie, and they got the freaking bank that their thing that they're pulling around, and like like I said, I don't know that he can carry a movie, but he definitely spices it up, which I think is awesome. And I think he's the best looking, let's be honest, of the list. I mean, he's
definitely buff.
Yes.
Oh, I got a quick joke for you too. So if you were to slap Dwayne Johnson on the butt, would you then say that you have hit rock bottom?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So let's look at his movies. So I'm only going to count the movies actually. Okay, The Mummy, 55%. The Mummy Returns, 47%. The Scorpion King, 41%. The Rundown. So this was his like kind of breakout role where he was actually like the star, other than The Scorpion King. 71%, good. Walking Tall, way bad. Be Cool. Doom, 19%. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Yeah.
That was horrible. Gridiron Gang, you know, that was, you can watch on cable if you want. The Game Plan. So, and then he's, I don't even, so that's not really a movie. That's not really a movie. Get Smart. He was in that with Steve Carell, which made a ton of money. So here's the thing about Vin Diesel and The Rock, I think. They just make money. We talked about Tom Cruise, too. They just make money. Tom Hardy is less well-known, but these guys make bucks. I mean, we'll look at the list. Faster, which I liked. The Tooth Fairy, 18%. And then all of a sudden, like, look here. All of a sudden, he was in The Other Guys. He was in it for, like, 5 minutes at the beginning. And then he was in Fast Five. And then he was in another shitty movie, Journey 2, with Josh Hutcherson. And then he's in Fast and Furious 6. Good. Then he was in G.I. Joe Retaliation. Also a bad movie. Guess what? Channing Tatum was in that movie. He skipped out of the second one. Remember after 21 Jump Street? He stopped doing the G.I. Joes, and ever since he's been in good movies, he's another one. Snitch, Pain and Gain, All Mediocre, Hercules. But I mean, he's definitely gotten better in terms of his movie selections. I really wish there was a top box office, or like a total box office, but you could tell. I mean, there's lots of $100 million in here. 100, 200, 300, 340. Like, I mean, he just brings in the bucks. Okay. Next. So now we're 3 of 4. Last one. Who's your fifth favorite action star?
Bruce Lee.
Really? How many movies have you seen with Bruce Lee?
I don't know, like one or something.
He's old school. He definitely had a short time.
Yeah, I just really...
need to throw like an actual fighter in there that could actually literally kick someone's butt.
Yeah, I mean, he's legendary, man. It's impressive, his physical skill and everything. Like, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't vouch for his acting or anything. But, like, you know, he was there, and I think he really changed... He impacted the industry.
See, like, I did a current one, because if I did, like, an all-time one, I would have had Schwarzenegger, I would have had Bruce Willis, like, I would have had these other guys who are kind of washed up now. Stallone, I mean, come on, he was fucking Rocky, like.
Yeah.
My final one, Daniel Craig.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about putting
him. Do you know why?
Because he's 007.
Good. He is 007. He is the first actor. I don't care what anybody says, Sean Connery, whatever. He's the first legit actor to play James Bond. He's the first actor to be in James Bond and also be in other great movies that don't suck, and he's convincing in them. He's the first James Bond not to just be this chauvinistic pig, whatever, you know, play the whole gimmick thing. And he actually kicks ass. He's actually buff. He actually started off a whole movie with a run chase scene that lasted 15 minutes in a Casino Royale, which was like one of the best chase scenes of all time. He is a legit actor. And I get in this argument with my dad because he loves 007. Oh, Sean Connery, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Daniel Craig is an actor. He's legit. He's good. He's good in other roles. That's the whole issue with James Bond. People don't want to be James Bond because they feel like they're going to be stuck in that role. Like Idris Elba, the black dude from Prometheus or Thor, he wants to be the next James Bond. And like people are like, well, you know, then people are going to say that, oh, all he could do is play James Bond. But I think the whole new James Bond line, starting with Daniel Craig and next Idris Elba, if that's who it ends up being, is all about kind of emulating or copying the Bourne Identity. That kind of fast cut, handheld action versus just the kind of like suave, oh, I'm about to get killed by a laser, but I'm somehow going to get out. You know, like the very campy, it was like so much camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I don't know if they're like necessarily trying to copy the Bourne Identity, but they definitely did reinvent 007.
Yes, with Daniel Craig. He was the first one, and it became like an action movie versus just kind of like a... Because 007 is a brand. I mean, he drinks only certain types of champagne, and, you know, he drives a certain car, and, you know, it's very much a branded movie. Like, it's 100% branded. So they got to kind of keep with the theme of the character, but then give him dimension. I mean, I remember the best James Bond moment for me ever was in the latest one, where he's being interrogated, and then the guy says, "Tell me about Skyfall." And he's like, I just got tingles saying it right now. Because that was about his parents and, like, his mother and, like, where he used to live when he grew up. And the next movie is going to be more on that, about, like, how he's trying to escape a past and stuff and, like, how pictures are scribbled out. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or whatever. But yeah. I don't know if there's a trailer, but just, like, a pictures or whatever. Yeah. So I like, not to get off topic with 007, but I think Daniel Craig is an action star. I think he's capable of actually physically doing the things. And he's not just a guy in a suit with a gun.
Yes.
Done. Mic drop. So we were 3 for 5. You picked two people who I feel like one's dead and one's washed up. So like if you really feel like even today, like Bruce Lee stands up, that's cool. I think a lot of people would agree with you. I try to pick mine like current. Like who am I going to go spend $12 to go see right now?
So I kind of had a different take on it. Like I didn't want to necessarily pick all current things. Yeah. I didn't want to be like, oh, you're like this hip and new action star.
Well, basically, the topic comes up because San Andreas is coming out. Mad Max just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to, like, who are we going to go pay to see? Mm-hmm. If one of these five guys is making a movie, I'm paying to see that movie. That's cool. 3 for 5. So we talked about, so what are like your key, as you look at your list, what are your key elements to what makes a great action star?
Well, I think one thing is I can't hate them. Like, sometimes I have characters in certain works of, you know, whatever media, where they're just too cool. Like, they just kick so much ass. It's like, it makes me almost want to, it makes me want to hate on them. I was like, dude, this is just dumb to me, right? But then, like, when they can pull it off, when it seems like this person should be this cool,
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, yeah, this person's cool.
I watched Ender's Game the other day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes. So I get the story. I get the story that it's like a book and all this stuff, and the kids are like super smart and able to do this stuff. But the fact that like all of a sudden he's like, now he's super good at shooting people and like,
yeah. Yeah,
what?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like when they're too good, like they're not believe. Like when I don't believe that they should be that good, that's when
you were telling me the other day about a movie where you hated when I think that was you. Like, all of a sudden, some guy just started kicking a bunch of ass, and you're like, ugh. I'm trying to remember.
Oh.
Well, think about that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I put on here, as one of my points, physicality looks, and also ability to kick ass. All the guys on my list, I would not want to walk into a dark alley and see them, like, in front of me. That doesn't mean they're all like The Rock and super buff Hulk, you know, like they call them in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
But, I mean, dude, Tom Hardy, I don't know if you've seen him in the movie Warrior. Him and, is it Joel Edgerton, that guy? Well, they're brothers or whatever, and they end up fighting MMA for the championship. Oh, yeah, and, like, his brother's, like, a really good tap-out guy, but Tom Hardy's, like, super buff and, like, strong and, like, a bull. Dude, like, you see him in that movie, like, you can't, like, you see him in Bane, he's pretty buff.
Yeah.
But he's got, like, a thing. But in that movie, you could tell, like, he could mess somebody up. Huh. In all of his other movies, he's kind of, like, not really exposed like that, so you can't really tell. Unlike The Rock, who's, like, basically guns out. Sun's out, guns out, all the time.
Yep.
Tom Cruise is probably the only one on my list who's, like, I mean, he's, like, 5'8". Might be able to take him in a fight, you know? But, like, he's the only one who I would say. But he does do his own stunts, like, unlike anybody else on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Fully. I mean, fully. He does crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just do that on camera right now?
Do what?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to cut away from that. Wow. Obviously, my last point, stunts. So, Bruce Lee obviously did all of his own stuff. We know when he was popular, Jackie Chan did all of his own stunts, probably hurt himself a lot. There's a reason actors aren't allowed to do their own stunts. It's because, I mean, look, Harrison Ford just sprained his ankle and they had to shut down production of Star Wars for like 6 weeks. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens when someone wants to do their own stunt. I'm sure he wasn't really doing a stunt. He's probably just walking down the hallway. He's pretty old. But, you know, like, mm-hmm. Tom Cruise says he wants to hang out of an airplane. But guess what? If he falls down and, you know, breaks his leg, he's not going to be able to do anything for 3 months. So that's why, and obviously, huge insurance risk. But I admire the ones who try to do it and pull it off.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
So, go ahead and with your last point on this, and then I have a very interesting point to make.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, for me, like, their physical state and their ability to do stunts themselves doesn't really matter that much to me. Like, I'd be fine if they can't do it, but it really does help me with my perception of them, you know, and, like, what I was saying before, me not hating on them. Like, you know, if they can actually kick butt and do their own stunts, then it really adds to the credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I might say, oh, I don't really care about that, it does affect me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're basically talking about realism for the last minute. Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What are we missing on our list? Are we sexist? What's missing from our top five list?
Hey, I almost and it's, put no,
this no, this isn't. This isn't our fault. But why are we missing females?
I don't know. Well, because they're not, I don't know, they're not really relied on for roles like that.
So do you think we're going to start seeing a trend?
I honestly do think so. Like, I think we're on the cusp of really.
Obviously,
like,
they're remaking Ghostbusters and they have all female casts and like they're starting to do reboots, but when are they going to actually have solid movies, original scripts that they say, we don't even need to use a guy for this. Let's use a girl. It's going to bring in a different audience. She's going to be able to do different stuff. When are we going to start seeing stuff like that?
I feel like it's going to be soon. Like, I don't, like, I've just, this is just my personal feeling, and it's kind of messed up to say this, but I think it's becoming more hip and more, like, popular and more, like, interesting, more, just more, like, relevant to people to have things that are, like, oh, this is multicultural, or oh,
guess
this
what?
Is like, it's more accepted.
Guess what?
You know?
The producers of movies, a lot of them are girls. None of the producers are, I wouldn't say none, but producers aren't just sexist. All producers care about. So if people are willing to give, I'm making a sign for money. If people are willing to pay money to go see Emily Blunt in a starring, you know, action role, which she's actually, I don't know if it's an action role, but she's like the lead in a cop movie, where she's like an investigator. So I'm guessing there's going to be some action. Obviously, what's her name from Game of Thrones is going to be in the new Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a point. I have Linda Hamilton up on here. She was obviously in Terminator 2. I don't know if you remember the difference between her and Terminator 1. I'm going to literally Google.
Literally. Dang, that is heavy. That is deep. We're currently Googling Linda Hamilton.
Terminator 1 versus 2. I'm going to look for a picture.
Didn't she get, like, buff or something?
Yes. So...
yeah, like, she looked like she could kick ass. She
like, cool. I don't know. They don't really have, like, one showing her guns. But, I mean, look at this. Like, she was freaking ripped. Like, this is her before. And then, like, she, like, embraced the role. I feel like the girl from Game of Thrones really, like, this looks the same. Not trying to be, you know, whatever. But like, Emily Blunt, like, when she was in... like, she had never done an action movie before Edge of Tomorrow. She got ripped for that. Like, she looked freaking toned for that movie. Like, if a female's gonna do a thing, once again, it has to be believable. All these action stars on her list, guess what? They're all super buff already, and they're all, like, we're used to them being athletic and being able to do stuff. If we want to believe that a female's gonna be able to do those same things, or even smarter ways to do those things, or different ways, they have to be in shape. They can't just be what they usually look like. Sexist yeah. or not, but I think Linda Hamilton did it. I think Emily Blunt did it, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's also a little bit harder, too, because just due the way, like, our culture and stuff is, we're naturally predisposed to kind of view
them as a sex symbol. Really.
Well, yeah, that, too, but, I mean, not really, you know, you don't really think a girl goes out and shoots things or kicks people's asses.
I mean... But like, so then they just pitch it as, like, oh, this girl's special. She's different. She was raised a certain way. Skyfall. She was raised a certain way. You know? Yeah. It could be done. Just people got to be willing to pay for it. And producers are going to start making movies if people pay for it.
Yeah, I'm just saying they have a larger hurdle to pass over into being believable as opposed to, like, some dude.
That's the thing, like... like when you said that it's hip, that it is hip, equality's hip, it's true. And... I'm totally down for it, but it can't make the movie worse. It can't, like, be a crutch. It can't, you know, it has to be believable. It has to, I want the girls to get in shape for the roles. I want them to be buff. I want them to seem like they could actually kick someone's butt. Because right now, basically, all the lead women's roles are like, oh, they're just smarter. They outthink you, whatever. I don't know. If we're going to see action women kicking ass, then they literally need to be able to look like they can kick ass. And maybe they use a lot of, you know, whatever, a different fighting style or whatever, you know. Obviously, I mean, can you even name five female action stars of all time that, like, deserve to be on a list? Just off the top of your head? Even by character name? And we got one on screen right now.
Yeah, she is pretty cool, Linda Hamilton. I thought, you know, Beatrix Kiddo and Lucy Liu in Kill Bill were pretty cool.
You mean Uma Thurman?
Yeah.
I mean, are they really action stars, though? Those are the only... I guess she did Charlie's Angels, but I mean, really, they didn't really do many other action roles.
Yeah, but I mean, what is Linda? I don't know who Linda. I don't know what other movies Linda Hamilton's been in. But I mean, what I really know her from Terminator, and mm-hmm. I think she kicks ass because of that.
Okay, so fine. So Lucy Liu, Uma Thurman, Linda Hamilton. You're missing Sigourney Weaver, maybe? Killed a bunch totally. Of aliens. Okay, can we get a fifth one, maybe? See how hard this is, though? I mean, like, we had to scratch and claw to get only five male action stars. And, like, we're scratching and clawing just to get five female. And we can really only say that they've been in one action movie each.
Yeah.
So, who's your fifth?
Well, okay, if I want to cheat, what about Death Proof, Uma Thurman's stunt actor, who's starring a role in that movie?
I saw her in person.
Oh, yeah?
She was Xena, the Warrior Princess, is a stub double. I wish I knew her name off the top of my head, but we're not going to use her because she's not really an actress. Yeah, I mean, God, I can't even think of one. I mean, that's how bad this is. We need more.
Emily Blunt?
No, but, I mean, she's been in one action movie. I'm not going to... It's cheating. I guess I could use her, but it's cheating. Mm. But, yeah. So, I guess the consensus with us is that we would pay to go see female action stars if this has to be believable. And we don't want to take shortcuts just to have a female star. Because guess what? You know, the movies are not going to make as much money at first. It's not till it becomes like a regular thing and we stop, you know, 50 years from now, stop thinking about the way we think now, and it'll become the norm, and then it'll be equal. And, like, people will go see Tom Cruise Sr. just as much as go see Emily Blunt. So, done. I think that's it.
All right.
That was an interesting episode. Hopefully, we talked about some interesting stuff. Nice.
Thank you.
We're all sick. So, if you have any questions, send them to me on Twitter at Filmin5D. Leave a comment below on the YouTube video if you're watching on YouTube. Like it, obviously. Oh, rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes at Filmin5D. Search Filmin5D. Are we going to change the name of the show?
I thought so, eventually.
I'm hoping so. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Check out the blog, wordpress.com. Filmin5D.wordpress.com. Check it out. Got a new blog. I almost released, remember The Theory of Everything? You enjoy that movie?
Yeah.
So I'll have to show you the trailer I made because YouTube wouldn't let me upload it. I made a 5-minute trailer and I tried to upload it twice and I got 2 strikes against my account. And I wasn't going to try a third time. And guess what? I was uploading as private. Like, I wasn't even ready. It was scheduled to release on Monday and I was like doing it over the weekend. And I couldn't even upload it because they were saying visual content every time. It's like the movie company didn't even have a chance to see the movie yet. I guess they just totally blocked anybody from uploading anything about that movie. Which is crazy. Like, I made what I think is a good trailer, and then more people will watch that trailer, and it has no spoilers. People will watch the trailer, and they'll, you know, say, I want to go see that movie now. Let me go rent it at Redbox or whatever. Their loss. I mean, if they don't want me to upload that stuff, their loss. What can I say? That's the first time I ever got a flag against the account, so that made me really mad. Consider I didn't even get an option. It's like, I tried to delete the videos afterward, and they're like, you know, deleting the videos will not remove any flags. Would you wish to proceed? Yeah, I got to remove them anyways. You blocked them. And so, whatever. All right, that's it. We'll see you next week. Bye. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Film 5D. Why
you... I'm Steve Jobs.
Okay.